Hello, and welcome to Questlore, a Disney Family Zortana podcast. I'm Matt.
I'm Malcolm.
I'm Emmett.
And I'm Jen.
And we are here every week to talk to you guys about Zortana. We take it from a family perspective. Our whole family enjoys playing the game.
Yep.
Hope you had a great week. We're going to start out ours. We do every episode by talking out about how we played this past week. Did our regular replay. So, guys, how did it go?
It went kind of good for me. I mean, I actually didn't get second to last, but I actually think I got 2-1 one stuff, but then I got 1-2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry, I beat him. But you.
I used that lesson like to show for you to show me my deck, and I saw that I grabbed his doors and that Pluto guard, so he took it out, and he had a Pluto out, so I just took out the Pluto and she inked the guard Pluto the next.
So basically, like this, I kind of call this week family week because we all played each other at least once, I think.
No, I didn't play you guys.
Well, the three of us played you. Like I played both of them. And then they played each other, didn't you? Yeah, so that was kind of funny because, you know, especially this was the first week of the third week for our location. And there was a lot of people there. There was, I think, like four new people there that had never played there before. I think Matt and I both had the displeasure of playing a new person because because the regular people we actually beat.
Yeah.
It was the new people that ruined it for us. Because I know my first match was against one of the new people, and it actually ended up being a draw. Like, I was going to be winning that third game, but time ran out. And so how it works with League is it's 50 minutes per match, and that includes three games. So if you don't finish three games in that 50 minutes, you basically get five turns going back and forth. And I had the game won, but he prepared me. And what's the other one that just removes a card, like the item in the red deck?
An item or action,
I think. Teeth and Ambitions me. So that way I couldn't win on my next turn, and I was literally at 19. It was one of those. There's some action, I think. And so I ended up making it a draw. Otherwise, I would have gone 3-0 because I did beat these two guys. Even though they put up a good fight, they both beat me one game, I think.
Yeah, so it counts like the way.
No, I beat you. You beat Emmett, though.
Oh, wait. I think me and Malcolm went, and then me and you went, and then it went to you and Malcolm. I think that's how it went.
Sorry.
So, yeah, our dog has decided that she wants to join in. With the fun, she's jealous, so she's brought along her squeaker toy to join in on the audio podcast, those on watching on video. You'll see her kind of squeaking and Jen trying to play with her.
Is there like squeaker dog toys, Volcana cards? Like Volcana cards that are squeakers?
No. Because they're cardboard cards.
Anyway, you guys
welcome. Yeah. So Malcolm, how did you do?
I went 2-1. I beat everything except Mom. Whereas I got 1-0 because I went 2-1 against Mom because I did not draw a single one shot my first turn.
Ouch, that hurts. Yeah.
And I'm playing aggro, so
did you get any 2-drops or did you get any Pinocchios or
Mom? I have one Pinocchio.
Yeah, but with Malcolm's deck, what he's actually trying to do is like drop a bunch of one drops at once, not just play one drop on one. What he wants to play cards that cost one, like he'd rather play three of those on turn three instead of one 3-cost character.
It's really interesting playing against his deck because, like, I know my strategy is completely different. Mm-hmm. Like, I have to get rid of those one drops like immediately, especially that Piglet and that Arthur, they have to go because those are like, those could be up to three, four lore in a single turn. So, like, I'm sometimes Along Came, or no, the, is it Along Came Zeus?
Yeah.
Even my big cards, just to get those out.
Like,
if I don't.
Stuff.
Or like, still, yeah, because if I don't, he's going to beat me. And he did beat me once. Like, there's nothing I could do sometimes. He just got like 12 more in like two turns.
Yeah.
Okay, so Dan, how did you do?
So I lost one game. I played against a couple of the regulars. I was able to take care of them. There was one match that was close because I didn't get to play a character until turn four.
Ooh, thanks.
So that hurt. But I was able to beat two people. Then I lost my third match against someone playing with Malcolm Deck, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So that aggro thing, and it really comes down to almost luck of the draw. I was able to take one game from him, but then there was one where I had wiped the board. I had six floor ready to go on the board. I would have won the next game, won the next round. I had everybody in a queen's castle as well, so I was going to be drawing four cards.
Wow.
And I started the next turn. He had no cards on board. He had 19 more though, and he drew the goat.
Ugh, the goat.
And so we top decked the goat and got that one lower and won. So that was.
Man,
that works.
That sounds like somebody.
Yeah, that's
what anyone that's playing that deck, it happens. You know, I've done it to other people. People have done it to me, and that's just kind of how the game is. And you know, it's just unlucky draw on my part, but still lots of fun. That was probably the last league game though that we're going to be doing for the next three Sundays.
Yeah.
This Sunday we're doing a draft at the local game store.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun one too because this is the first mixed draft. Oh no, we did one other mixed draft.
Yeah,
it's not completely.
We did half and half, but he's not sure exactly how it's gonna. Basically, it's gonna be based on whatever
he has
available.
Stock.
But
so
it might be a 2 and 3. It might be a 1 and 2 and 3. I think a 1 and 2 and 3 would be super cool. I kind of really hope that happens.
You know, right? We're
yeah.
Drawing right
uh-huh.
I was thinking sort of what I know. What I think it is, when you sing it, you can challenge, when she sings, you can challenge anybody cancels, but she's already exhorted.
No, she doesn't sing. If anybody sings,
but what
then she can
play.
So, like, you can use your ink. So, let's say I use my ink to use grab, to play Grab Your Swords. And then she could now attack a regular character, even though she wasn't the one who sang. If any song was sung on your turn, then you can have her attack a red character. That's what that does. Okay.
Now I get it.
Yeah, because you're right. Because it's right.
Yeah,
Or if you had a Moana, Moana can ready other characters after she quests.
So Cardi was talking about with the Cinderella forward hero.
Yeah.
Who had the ability to sing it forward.
Yeah.
So that's the thing he's referring to when he's talking about that. So that's how the game went this week. I know I'm probably going to try to play at least one time this week at one of the local stores because I'm at least trying to get practice in. We'll figure out who of us are going to get to be able to play on the set championships that are coming out. It's going to be mid to late April. There's like a week where all the stores have to do it. I know there's at least three stores in our area that are going to be doing it. I'm hoping the guy signed up, the fourth one, I hope the guy signed up for. I don't know. He was unsure about it.
We know that there's also one that's not super close to us, but local enough that regularly runs a youth-only, so we're hoping that maybe he's going to be a championship too, which would be really cool, because
yep.
If so, then we would take these two kids over there and do that.
At least two of the stores that are near us that are doing it are talking about creating their set championship, like a 1K type thing. Set championship does have rules about no cash prizes, so if you're doing the 1K, the prize is going to be in product support, so you might walk away with, like, 4 boxes of cards, stuff like that. You'll get store credit instead, but, like, a 1K worth of store credit will get split among the winners. From what I understand, like, none of us have participated in one of these really big tournaments, but I have heard they are, instead of 3 rounds, you're doing more like 8 or 9. So that might be a bit much for some of the kids. I know I for sure am doing it. We'll talk with Jen and see if she wants to partake in that challenge. But my plan is to go to as many as I can because I'd like to get that chance. And I want some more practice with the deck that I've been running to see. Because I do practice on Pixelborn, but there is a big difference.
my husband over here. Like, he has, you know, knock on wood, only lost one game or one match in the past, what, month and a half?
Yeah. I mean, when we look into, like, what other people are playing, I'm playing something similar that keeps winning the Ruby Amethyst deck that, it's, there are decks, I think, that are better than it, but I think it's the most forgiving. Like, if you make a mistake, you can come back. Most consistent, where you can come back if you fall behind. So, you know, I'm getting better. This is my first real trading card game, just like all of us, but we're all getting better.
Pokemon Cards.
Yeah, but we didn't really play Pokemon Cards competitively. We just played against each other. Like, this is the first, like, card game where we're actually playing in a competitive with prizes.
I played Pokemon Cards
with you guys.
Hey, I played a couple of matches with you.
Yeah.
When we
were first trying to, you know, teach them their math skills, we thought Pokemon Cards would be a good way to get them excited about math, which we didn't really have to do because they ended up doing math anyway.
So, exciting time. We'll keep you updated with our, you know, our antics when it relates to the league and the championships and all that stuff.
We will definitely have a podcast next week. We'll try to, but the week after that, we might be taking a week off because we are taking a spring break cruise with the family. So we'll have one. So we will have one next week. But then we will be off for a week while we go on our awesome family vacation. And then we will be back the first weekend of April.
So in other news, I do want to give a shout out and thank you to the ladies over at Live Laugh Lorcana. They featured us as their creator content spotlight of the week.
Yes, thank you.
I've listened to their podcast for several months. I think they're great at what they're presenting. They're very similar to how we're presenting it. It's two sisters that one of them was into creating card games, basically dragged the other one in with her when it became Disney. They're talking about how they're playing at the local league. So kind of coming at it from perspective, just like we are. Go give them a listen. Join their Discord where they chat all the time. They're a pretty funny podcast. If you haven't had a chance to listen to it, go ahead and give them a listen. And thank you, ladies, for mentioning us.
These kids were so excited when they heard you say their names. That was, like, the coolest thing. Like, their eyes lit up. So, like, thank you so much for that.
Did you have something you want to say, Emmett? Nope. Okay. So, still light on, like, regular Lorcana news this week, except for one thing, which was basically the announcement of more news. And that more news will be coming specifically on Wednesday of this week. There will be their first, what they're calling a forecast, where they're going to be announcing stuff. This is about the time when we would expect for them to release the name of the next set, some details about it. We have some details that they need to provide regarding set championships. There's actually, they're also due to give us a comprehensive rule book for Lorcana. There actually isn't a full rule book. It's all, like, kind of in the app. There's a bunch of things about the individual cards and basically a pamphlet that was given to the league organizers for the local stores about how to actually play the game and kind of rules when it comes to playing in a competitive tournament. Can you do things like take any notes? Can you do things like have cards that you can change out between matches, things like that, where there aren't any set rules yet, so we're expecting that. We're expecting the next of the fourth set, the details about the fourth set, so next week we'll have a whole bunch of that to talk about. I imagine that'll be Wednesday, and then we'll report after that, so lots of fun coming up. But our topic for today, we've got two things we're going to go over. First, we're going to discuss more about the lore of Lorcana. Started last week with the stuff from the first chapter. I'm going to continue this week with the stuff from the second chapter. And then we're going to go over, last week we talked about building a deck. Okay, so you've got your deck. What do you do with it after that if you want to go and play someone? Going to a store, but you can just take your deck and go. There's some other things that we want to talk about from our experience. What will help with that?
Can I go
when we get to it? So last time, what did we learn last time in the lore? It's a good idea.
Last time, what was her name again?
Shanzi.
Shanzi was at this karaoke, but nobody was listening to her. But then she found the Great Illuminator.
The Great Illuminator.
But she was transported to the Great Illuminary.
And the Great Illuminary, and then what character did she end up finding in the Great Illuminary?
Chulio and
Cheerio?
Adventuro and Martin.
Adventuro and Martin, not Cheerio.
Not Cheerio.
Adventuro and Martin. Blonde went to a big book.
Right.
And she used this little pen.
Called an Inkcaster.
Inkcaster. To make Hercules.
Right.
The bodyguard for the first set.
Right. Do you remember what they called, like what special name they had for people that were able to create that stuff?
Illumineers.
Right.
Illumineers.
That's what we all are, right?
We are Illumineers.
Illumineers.
And the cause of glimmer.
That's correct.
Good job.
What do they create the glimmers from, do you remember?
Pieces of the story.
Right. So Disney stories, they call them story stars, right? They use ink and lore and an ink caster to create characters, right? Those create the dreamborn and storyborn characters, right? Are there any other characters that I haven't, type of characters I haven't mentioned? So we haven't talked about. No, so that's what we're covering today, right?
Yeah.
The bloodborne portion of this. You're right.
I mean, it's all lines of bloodborne.
Right. So that's, we're learning how these bloodborns were created. So the great we've got this great illuminary where Shamsi, Venturo, and Martin were all shown, and there's other people there. They haven't been given any names. We haven't really seen them in a video, but they're like other people there. They're supposed to be us. Like we're all there too. We're creating these glimmers. We're spending them out to get the lore. There was a great curator there with other luminaires, but they're all gone. Somehow, some of the lore has spread out right across the land.
They said that Yensid
it could be like Yensid, right?
We're thinking that Yensid could be the one behind it.
Right.
And also,
Okay. Also inside the Great Illuminary, right, are all the items that we've been dealing with as well. That's where they store things like the Lucky Dime, like Peter Pan's shadow.
Fishbone
Quill, right. All that stuff is in the Great Illuminary.
Can you go get me a quill of a fishbone?
Well, you gotta use what you gotta use. So this is the next teaser trailer that was for the Rise of the Bloodborne. So let's take a look at that. Yeah. All right. So here's one of the rooms with one of the lore books. Okay. So what? See all that stuff around it though? That's not ink. There's Martin, and he's got a special ink caster actually. So.
Is that
amber and emerald? Yeah. So it seems like each one of them kind of represent two colors. So he represents amber and emerald. But look, his ink caster is actually a guitar. Shanze's was like a pen. His is a guitar.
Singing because all the songs are amber.
Cool. Look, he's going to play near the lore book. The lore book reacts.
Whoa.
And then all of this ink starts flooding out of it.
Oh. Okay.
So that's what's happening. So Martin is the reason that there's bloodborne. It's all his fault.
Thanks, Martin.
Right.
He makes singing so inviting you back.
I don't miss him. The singing sword.
Yes, Buddha.
Singing sword is steel.
Maybe Buddha.
Sure.
So there is another video that follows up to this for this was for Rise of the Bloodborne still. So let's take a look at that. Our dog is just adamant that she needs to be part of this. So there were two. So we had Martin, right, went up to this mysterious lore book. It was covered in seaweed.
Detective Mickey have seaweed in his picture and like his lore thing?
He is. There's seaweed inside the picture. There's one other character that is also looking at seaweed in one of the cards. Do you guys know what it is?
Isn't it Ariel?
No, not Ariel. I mean, that's a good guess because, you know, she's in water. There might be seaweed on her card. But someone that's actually examining seaweed. It's from a set. It's a set one card.
What else?
So Detective Mickey.
Yeah.
It's a really random one. It's the Duke of Wesselton.
Oh, I remember that now.
Yeah. So there is lore inside these cards. We have Detective Mickey looking at it. We have Duke of Wesselton looking at the seaweed. All right, so whoever corrupted that book did something with the lore.
That's probably why Mickey and Minnie went underwater in set two.
That's two.
Wait,
Mickey going underwater?
Don't you remember?
I was playing the snorkel.
The right. Snorkeling Mickey and Minnie that has the big bubbles around their head?
It's on Minnie and Mouse.
Or does it not work on Mickey and underwater too?
Minnie and Donald.
Oh, okay. So yeah, remember Minnie and Donald? They went underwater.
And that's what the Sony Ursula caught.
Let's check out this second video that came with Rise of the Bloodborne. That shows kind of what happened after Martin breaks everything. So there's Martin. All the ink is starting to flood from everywhere. Right. So there you go. There's Venturo, right? He's looking at this.
So that was the original Cinderella.
And because she got corrupted by all this ink.
Now she's got the singing sword.
So the ink is filling up the luminary. There's all the items, right, that we've used. The ink is washing away the items out. So the items are all getting washed out of the great luminary by that great flood of ink. Martin is just trying to get out of the way because he's like, I did this. It's my fault. He's trying to grab the trident. Decides to try it, but then he sees Venturo is also sliding away. So he decides, well, I better save this actual person instead of that. So Venturo.
Not Poseidon's trident. Whose trident is it? King Triton's.
King Triton's trident. Yes.
Not.
So there's the ink going out. You've got our three heroes all looking out. Got the Bloodborne version of these characters, and then just a queen looking out with them, looking over the Inklands as ink floods through them.
So that's what Piglet's doing. He's going through the Inkland.
Right. So.
But the takes are Piglet says, "There's lore out there, and I'm just the one to find it."
No, but it also, in part of the lore.
So that maybe that's why there's so many pirate things in set three, because they all have to sail through the ink.
Right, so into the Inkland. They have
very cool.
So yeah, one more video that we'll watch next week, as well as whatever kind of comes up with this thing. So again, we get the lore from the videos, we get lore from the cards, we get lore from the books that were in the trove.
Yeah.
So the trove book this time talks about what Shanzi was doing while Martin was messing everything up. While that's occurring and while Martin is saving Venturo, Shanzi and the other Lumineers, they see the red spell book. They're all gathered kind of around to see what that's going to do. Then the ink floods through, washes away the spell book. She watches Belle and Cogsworth changing into their Bloodborne version. Then she goes out and joins them on the bench.
Okay.
So,
that?
Yeah, but the Hidden Archer one. The one that when you attack her, like, you have to discard all your cards. What do you see on them?
The spell book. The guy from, like, Lilo and Stitch, like, say something about, like, lost their spell book in the lore?
Yeah. Well, I don't think it's Lilo and Stitch. I think it was.
Yeah.
No, it is. You're right. You're right. Cobra Bubbles, right?
Yeah, Cobra.
Cobra Bubbles talks about ways to wait. I think the text on his card was like, so you're telling me your spell book got washed away by a giant flood of things. basically questioning the whole thing. But we just saw that it did happen.
Yeah. And so the other reason why I think it's Ursula, I think that because I think we talked about this before, there's actually a misprint on the Bloodborne Ursula.
Mm-hmm.
And why would it, and what is the misprint again, Dan?
That she's a storyborn.
But she's really supposed to be a
dreamborn.
No,
not Bloodborn.
So I wonder if it's a big deal that has to be changed because of the lore.
There's a chance it could be. It's interesting to note that, right, Ursula is one of the characters where we have a lot of cards, but she has no ship.
Yeah.
Right, she's one of the ones that has no ship card currently. Some of the other villains don't, right? We have a ton of Maleficent cards, and she doesn't have a ship card.
But most of the shifting ones are, like, either Bloodborne or...
They have to be Bloodborne. Every single Bloodborne.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So if there's no Bloodborne Ursula, she's the one behind all. Because everybody else that has a shifter that's a big card, and all the shifters are Bloodborne.
The only one that isn't also isn't biggest one that has a ton of cards is Maleficent. There's no shiftable Maleficent.
Also, it could be Maleficent too. But I think that.
You got all the clues for saying it first of all, yeah. Yeah.
Who were those people that were at the balcony at the end that wasn't sure the not?
I think those were all the princesses. And
all like the three main people of Into the Age, like the Raya, the Bloodborne?
Yeah, that one is.
That was all the Bloodborne and characters, then and then that was the Shifting Queen. Like the 5-point queen that shifts.
And then the
Cinderella
one. Yeah. It was all the
shifting ones. And like you guys remembered, right? So you've got Cobra Bubbles was talking about the spell book getting washed away. Interestingly enough, there's a couple other cards that have story in it. Yuki Hops and Chief Fogo both talk about how they're investigating the Bloodborne explosion, how all the ink came out. And really, we just showed this video. They look smart and did it. Yeah, go and play with stuff in an obviously dangerous situation. So that's what we've got so far. There is an Into the Inkland video watch during our next episode, and I'll go over some more of the stuff people have been seeing and speculating from cards where you have some of the things matching up between each of the cards, like some of the items that you can see in them. What's interesting to note is, right, this video specifically called out the importance of being frightened.
Trident.
That's
also for Ursula.
Exactly.
Wait, is King Trident an item yet?
It is
not. There isn't one yet. It's featured here, and I will say it's featured in the next set on the next video as well. So we have not seen this item yet. It's been featured in multiple videos now. So we'll see what happens with the next one. And we'll be able to speculate more, and we'll talk about what's in some of the other cards. So that is for next week. Maybe we'll get some more lore as well with the lore cast coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah.
So, anything else you guys want to add on lore stuff?
No, but I hope somebody from Alice in Wonderland is part of the lore.
You're part of the lore videos, you mean?
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we start getting more and more characters.
I mean, the chess I have had said something about, like, Alice was just like, why does this look so twisted and weird?
I think we have a Bloodborne Cheshire Cat. We don't have a Bloodborne Alice yet. A Bloodborne Mad Hatter.
No,
that's Bloodborne. Yeah, the T-Alchemist, even though it looks like it would be a Bloodborne, is a Greenborn. So.
She
dreams
to be.
Cool. Yeah, the art is so cool. The card is just.
I know, but the art is so good.
Yeah.
Do you know what would make a good dream board for Alyssa? For being a flower.
Oh, that would be
everything
cool.
Just be a dream board for
Alyssa. I mean, she's going to have a lot of dream board, probably. It makes
sense. There's so many things. Because she could be that. She could be, they could turn her into a card.
The whole movie is insane.
Exactly.
All right. So, let's move on to our other topic this week. So, it's, you've got your deck. You want to go play against other people besides maybe the same people in your family. You want to try other things. You want to go out and meet people. What do you guys? What do we need to bring with us besides just our cards?
Max.
Okay, Max. So that is a great thing to bring. So
cards to trade.
Well, let's talk about Max. Okay. So playmats are basically just like kind of cloth or neoprene type material. You've got one set up on the table here. It's just a nicer surface to play on than the hard tables, and it helps kind of protect your cards. But you can kind of dig into a little bit, pick it up, you know, bend those edges or scratch it. What kind of mats do you guys have?
I got a Queen of Hearts one.
Right. So we actually bought some custom ones for my birthday.
That's kind of creepy when you whisper in a microphone. So you just talk normal.
And actually, my Queen of Hearts one is a pixel straight out from the movie.
Yeah, and so I have a really cool Rapunzel one of all the lanterns.
And mine's one from Kingdom Hearts where it's got Sora, Mickey, Sora, Donald, and Goofy all on it. So it's a way to kind of show off also your personality. It's a way to show off what you like It also can act as a way to organize your card. You can have areas set aside for your inkwell, your area set aside for your play, a place to count lore. So they can be really useful. If you don't have a mat, you're not sure you want to get into that whole scene, most stores will have mats that you can use. In fact, the store we're at usually has mats already on the table, and we're just setting our mats on top of theirs.
Yeah.
Or they'll have one you can borrow. The other store I play at, you've got a whole rack of them that you can just kind of borrow and use. So yeah. Don't worry if you don't have one. What's something else, Malcolm, that you should have when you bring your cards to play?
Dice.
So that's weird, right? Because it's a card game. It's not a board game. It's not a tabletop RPG. Hey, what do we use our dice for? Go right ahead.
What's one of the things we use dice
so, for? So, usually at the beginning of, like, before you have anything in your inkwell or anything in before you start playing, like probably like while you're shuffling your cards, you bring dice to roll them.
Why do you roll them?
To see who goes first.
Right. So that's
you can either roll 2d6s or d20.
Or 1d20, right. So rolling dice to determine who goes first. We're like in tournaments, we're assuming it's gonna be more that like whoever's like in the lead or a higher ranking will get to go first. But for usual regular league play, we roll dice to determine who goes first.
And then
Malcolm, what's another way we use dice?
As the talent.
Right.
So in the troll, or like, I think it comes with little damage talent. So those are fine, but most people use dice, like, you put how much damage is taken on them, like,
yeah, because then you can just turn the dice when you get more damage rather than adding more counters.
Yeah, so,
yeah.
Like Pokemon cards.
And some of these things, when you're playing, you want to make sure that the other person you're playing against is comfortable with how you're using things. Most people put, like, this for its damage, they'll put, like, I put one damage on the dice, that's one. There are also others that acted as a
backward counter,
so they say that this has 2 health points left. Same with the dice when you're rolling for who's going to go first. Some people want to use, both of us use the same dice. That way, if something is, like they're worried about things being loaded, things being stacked against them, so they want to make sure that everything is equal.
Yep. And then another thing that some people even use a d20 just to keep score.
Yes.
So that's a last final way that you can use dice is if you want to use it to keep score. I know most of us don't do that because we either, like, I know all of our mats actually have a score counter on it, and we actually like using those little durable figures and move them along our counter to keep score, or there you can use the Lorcana app to keep score. It just does drain your battery a little bit. Or in the latest, was it in the latest Trove, or was it in that came with a little point counter?
It was the latest Trove, came with a point counter. That's also been an award for leagues as
for
well,
league,
like
yeah.
Like a promo that they give out during the little lore counter. So it has the disc, and then you spin the disc, and it shows you a number.
And, yeah. So most of us don't use dice to keep score, but you could if you didn't have any of those other things.
Yeah, and when we're saying D6, D20, if those terms are new to you, that's just referring to the number of sides the dice has. So a 20-sided dice, 6-sided dice. Those are what's typically used.
And 6-sided dice is probably what you're used
yeah.
to when
so,
you hear dice.
If you need dice, go raid your Yahtzee set. grab a bunch of dice out of there. I think that's probably what I did the first week, was buying those dice from that until we just all have, like, special colored dice. Like, now all of our dice matches our colors. So we've been blinging up as we've been playing more and more. So we've got dice to count damage and count more. We've got play mats to play on. What else do you guys think would be useful to bring with you?
I know one of the things that is very helpful for me is a deck box. Because then I can store my deck in there, and then like the ones that we have also have a space for us to store our dice, for me to store my durables that I use to keep score, and then if we do like get packs of new packs of cards, there's a place to put those as well. So we all have our own deck box. At the beginning, we started with just 2, and we just kind of shared and put all of our decks in it. But now, you know, like Matt said, we have upgraded so that we all have our own. And it's just nice because especially with these little guys, you know, when you're moving from one table to the next between rounds, if you don't have a nice way to put everything together, then they can't be independent and move their stuff by themselves. And so we really like having those deck boxes so that they can put everything together, and then they only really have to carry two things over with them, their mat and their deck box when they're moving from location to location.
Trading cards.
Well, cards to trade is the next one.
Sure. So after you, you know, played a little bit, you bring your cards to trade. That's usually where you're going to find people that are willing to trade cards. We completed a whole bunch of cards that we needed during the first weekend from Infinity Plans. Got people that are looking for specific cards. So you're helping them out. They're helping you out. It's a good way to trade. Usually when you're trading cards, people will determine their value by looking on a website called PCG Player to see the value. So they make sure you're not like kind of, oh, here's a, you know, chip for your beast tragic hero, right? You don't want to necessarily go one for one. You want to make sure that you're getting something equal in return.
Or here's my spirit tiger. I will give you this stitch for your foil singing sword.
Yeah. I think it was one time during a draft.
Oh, right? God.
So if you have kids, don't let them trade.
Don't let them trade.
Don't let them trade at all. No. We're... Emmett was going to trade a bell, strange but special. So this is an enchanted from set one. Not it wasn't an enchanted card. It's a legendary version from set one, right? That is very popular now. It's like a $20 to $30 card. And he was going to trade him for a like Elsa gloves off or something like that, like a really small Elsa.
Not the big Elsa.
Like a 2 cent card. Before I had to step in and say no.
What are you doing?
Because in the draft, he pulled Anna, which, like, does stuff with Elsa's on the board. She's like, well, then I need an Elsa, and he was just going to trade that away. And I had to step in and stop that. So don't let your kids trade. Make sure you're getting your fair value. There's one other thing you kind of want to have before you go. We're talking about value. What's something else? Make sure you're protecting your value that you want to bring with you.
Oh, sleeves.
Sleeves, right. You want to get card sleeves. You want to have that, especially if you're going to, like, a draft or a... sealed event where you're pulling the cards, then you want to bring sleeves with you. Make sure you have those sleeves ready because some of these cards, I mean, yes, they're pieces of cardboard and they're meant to be played with, absolutely. But they do get up in value, right? You have a Beast Tragic Hero on your hand, like it's a $70 card. You can sell that and turn it around for $70.
Or you get one of the, like, any legendary.
Yeah.
Like, especially like a foil
legendary. Yeah. So if you get those cards just when you're drafting, or then if you're bringing those cards with you, right, you might have easily $600 worth of cards in your deck when you're playing. You want to give some protection to that. You are going to have to shuffle them. You are going to have to deal them. You are going to put them on mats, bring them up. People are going to be tapping them to say that needs to be destroyed. Stuff like that. So get a set of card sleeves and use them. If you're wondering, like, well, what kind of cards do you get, the brand that you typically buy is called Dragon Shield. They're pretty nice.
Yeah, they do make them in clear, like shiny and matte, but then we really like the colored ones, too, that have the colored back. And I mean, even though the artwork on the back of these are really, really nice, it is nice. Especially when we have four decks in our house, to have four different color sleeves so that we know whose is whose in case there is some kind of shenanigans happening and people's cards get mixed up, we know whose are whose.
Yeah.
You're all forgetting about the most important thing to bring.
What's that?
Card decks.
Well, that's what we started with, man. You said you've got a deck. What else do you got to bring, man? So if you are thinking about going to a local play event, which we all encourage you to do. It's been an absolute blast since we started it. Think about what you need to bring with you. Think about that play. Like, I just showed up my first time with, I knew I should get card sleeves, but I just showed up with a deck and my trove box with my cards inside with little cardboard things inside of there. I didn't bring counters with me. I was just like, oh, I'll use the little counter that came with it, or I'll use the app. I'll use these little damage counters, and I learned so much from that play event because a lot of people that are playing, especially Lorcana, are really into growing the game, are really into sharing, right? There is
you love board gaming at all, playing card games at all, and you even just like Disney, it is super fun. And I mean, I have yet to find anyone who has not just been an absolute pleasure to play with. And we played at multiple stores, so, you know, it's really been great. And, like, what I love the most, too, is how amazing everyone is playing with our kids. Because, you know, most of the time when we play, they're the only kids there. I think we've only played maybe 3 or 4 times total where there's been any other kids there.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you do have kids who love Disney, and maybe you grew up on Magic and won at Magic the Gathering or on Pokemon cards, and you know that they're not really into that, but maybe they're really into Disney, then this is a great way to get them into that gaming, tabletop gaming community.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Sure. Is there anything else you would tell someone who wants to go to the Playboy Con for the first time?
Have fun. Yeah, have fun. Have so much fun. So on. If you lose, then change up your deck a little bit. Maybe you should make a deck and try it out. And if it doesn't work, try adding new stuff to the deck.
And
like,
parents,
I just made a new Pokemon card deck. And I only made it in 2 days. And I think it looks really good.
And kids, you know, I know it can be hard getting your parents, I know it can be hard getting your kids to do anything with you as they get older. I'm worried about these kids myself one day, but if you can, you know, start young. It's every week that I get other parents talking to me like, man, I wish I could get my kids in here. Because they're just they're awesome. We're going to move on into our last segment.
Trivia.
It's trivia time.
It's trivia time.
So, again, we are taking this from the Disney trivia game. Very much like Trivial Pursuit. We played it. We recommend it. If you like Disney trivia, go ahead and buy it. It does have a little bit of mini cards maybe from Disney and sequels that no one wants to see. But it does have a lot of fun ones as well. So let's get going here, guys. Let's see if you guys can answer this. How many tries did it take Tadashi Hamada to perfect Baymax in the film Big Hero 6? It's time to guess a number. Because there's no way you guys actually know this.
14.
I'm
going to say 12. 16. Okay. You guys are all off. It is 84. 84.
So Price is Right rules, and it wins?
Sure. Here's an easy one. What's Fozzie Bear's famous catchphrase?
Waka waka!
What did you say, Papa?
He's Fozzie Bear!
It's Waka Waka!
He's playing fair, not
I know.
I
just made up something random.
Fozzie.
Next question. Who does Mulan join the army in place of in the movie?
Her father.
The dragon.
It's her father. She doesn't want her father to go off to war and die.
Father? Okay.
Yeah. No, it's her father.
In Cars 2, what does Vader disguise himself as to crash Lightning McQueen's dinner with Sally? Right there at the end. Unbelievable. five here. Okay.
That's why he only knows that from listening to so much Disney, the Sirius Disney Music Channel.
Yeah, it's Disney Hits on Sirius FM. XM. XM, that's right. It's not a radio station.
No.
It's Sirius Radio. Okay, we're going to end it there. Good job, folks. I can't believe we pulled up without that there at the end. I think the only one actually missed was the number of attempts to make Baymax, which that's fair. That's got to be like the most throwaway line in that movie, right?
Yeah.
So great job, everyone. Thank you, everyone, for joining us once again. Thank you for listening. If you are watching us on YouTube, you can find an audio version on all major audio platforms as Questlore. If you are listening and like, hey, I want to see these crazy people online in video form, you can find us on YouTube at Questlore. Wherever you find us, please like, subscribe, follow, rate, thumbs up, 5 stars, everything that you can possibly do, please go ahead and do it. Once again, thank you to Live, Laugh, or Kana. Give them a listen. Thank you to my family here. Thank you to Jim. Thank you to Malcolm. Thank you to Emmett. Thank you to all of you for listening and watching. If you have any questions, almost forgot. You can email us at questlorequestions@gmail.com. Feel free to send them in. I'll throw them to the kids, whether it's Orcon related or you just got a question for them. Feel free to ask us at any